Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse number 20, the Bible reads, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old." And the title of my sermon tonight is Gluttons and Winebibbers. Gluttons and Winebibbers. The Bible says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Why? For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Being a drunk, being a glutton will not only sap you of your money and bring you to poverty because of all the money wasted on booze and junk food and medical bills, but also they will make you drowsy. It will take away your energy. If you eat and overindulge in junk food, gluttonous, you will become drowsy. You will lack energy. And people who drink alcohol, it's a downer. It's a depressant. It doesn't give them more energy. It gives them less. Drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. But notice verse 20, it says, be not among winebibbers. Why is that? Because if we spend a lot of time around people who are constantly indulging the flesh, constantly giving in to the lust of the flesh, and exercising no willpower, then we're going to begin to be the same way. The people that we're around have a great influence upon us. And so if we want to live a life that keeps under our body and brings it into subjection, then we need to make sure that we surround ourselves with those type of people. We don't want to be around people that are constantly a bad influence on us, that are influencing us to give in to the lust of the flesh. Not only that, but this also highlights the importance of, as a parent, setting the right example for your children. Because I don't think it's a coincidence that right after he says that we should not be among winebibbers and riotous eaters of flesh, because the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags, in the next breath he says, what? Listen to your parents. He says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You see, the bad habits of the parents will be passed on to the children. Or the good example set by the parents will be passed on to the children. And often what the parents do in moderation, the children will take to excess. And we have a ton of examples in the Bible where parents dabbled in a certain sin, and then the children just went all the way into that sin. And we see that the sins of the parents are often passed on to their children. Now, I want to focus tonight in my sermon. I'm not going to focus as much on drinking alcohol. I'm going to focus more on the gluttony side of this and just the winebibber side of this. Not talking about the alcoholic stuff, but the non-alcoholic stuff, the sugary drinks that you're pouring down your gullet, the winebibbing gluttony of that. Now, I'm going to focus on that tonight, and there are not a lot of preachers that will preach this sermon because they're afraid of offending people. And I don't want to offend anyone either, okay? Because of the fact that my goal as a pastor is never to hurt people's feelings or to just get on their case and just sock it to them. I mean, what would be the point of that? The point of preaching the Bible, no matter what sin I'm preaching against, is to help people get it right. It's not to beat people up for mistakes that they've made in the past or to just get on people for being wrong. No, it's to try to help people to improve. The point of hearing the preaching of God's word is that it would bring about repentance in your life. That you would hear God's word preached and realize, hey, this is something that I need to fix. This is something I need to improve. What's the point of even going to church if you're not going to be challenged from the pulpit? If you're not going to have sin pointed out so that you can purify yourself and become a better Christian and a better servant of the Lord. So I don't want to offend anyone, but no matter what sin I preach about, somebody's going to be offended. You know, you preach against fornication and having kids out of wedlock, the single mother is going to be offended. You preach against divorce, the divorced are offended. You know, you preach against any sin, and somebody out there is going to be offended. But often the people who are offended are the people who need it the most. Yeah, right. And a wise man will hear and will increase learning and will understand, hey, you know, maybe there's something I can learn from this. Maybe I can become a better Christian in the new year going into 2018. Maybe I can fix this problem in my life. There are people today that are godly, Bible-believing Christians, but this is a major sin in their life of being a glutton or being a wine bibber or being one who indulges the flesh to excess. And it's a sin just like anything else. Just as the smoker is in sin, just as the drunk is in sin, just as the thief or the covetous are in sin, the one who looks at porno is in sin, the glutton is in sin as well, and it needs to be addressed from the pulpit. The Bible covers it. The Bible says, and if you would flip over to Deuteronomy 21, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. So you see that often overeating or gluttony is mentioned in the same breath with drunkenness. You see that those two things are often put together side by side in the Bible. Here's another example of that, Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, Deuteronomy 21, 19, and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And so while you might think to yourself, well, I don't know if gluttony is a big deal, I don't know if it's a big sin, here's the thing, it can lead to worse sins.
Yeah.
Because when a person is willing to disobey in that area, to disobey mom and dad in that area, or to disobey the wisdom and the guidelines of the Word of God and overindulge in this area, what area will they overindulge in next? You see, when we train our bodies to rule us, and when we just train ourselves where whatever we crave, whatever we desire, we just indulge in that and we don't tell ourselves no, are we going to tell ourselves no in other areas of life? You think about Eli. The Bible talks about how Eli was a very heavy man, the Bible tells us. And in fact, when God rebuked Eli, he said to him, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifices and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. So he rebuked him for making himself fat, and he said that he's a very heavy man. But what do we see next? Eli, that's where it stopped with him. That was his big sin, was that he was just overindulging the flesh. But you know what his sons did? They did the same thing, except they added another sin. They lay with the women that assembled by the congregation. So basically, the dad had this sin of gluttony, and then what did his sons do? They said, okay, I see your gluttony, and I'll raise you fornication. They did what the dad did, but then they just indulged the flesh in other areas as well. And so this can lead to worse. We don't want to raise sons of Eli, do we? I don't want my sons to grow up and be like Eli's sons and just grow up and indulge the flesh through gluttony, indulge in drunkenness, and indulge in fornication. I don't think you want to raise an Eli either. Well, we need to have some self-discipline in our lives so that our children will see that example and grow up and be disciplined young people and not like Eli's sons. Now, you say, well, it's just genetic. That's funny because when you see people that are morbidly obese and they adopt children, it's those adopted children become morbidly obese as well. You say, well, the whole family is that way. It's genetic. No, the whole family has the same habits. The whole family has the same diet. The whole family has the same lifestyle. And you know who determines this more than anyone else is the mother. And the mother is the one that's going to the grocery store and putting things in the cart. The mother is the one that's making breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, you ought to take that responsibility, ladies, to serve nutritious food to your family and to teach your children habits of what is the right food to eat and what is the wrong food to eat and when to say, okay, you've had enough. You know, we need to put limitations on what our children should eat and not eat. You say, well, Pastor Anderson, I think that this is just all your opinion. It's out of bounds. How dare you? Well, if you stop and think about it, and if you would flip over to Genesis chapter 2, if you stop and think about it, the very first sin in the Bible was somebody eating something that they were told not to eat. That's the first sin in the Bible. True or false?
True.
You open the Bible to Genesis 1 and you start reading. The first time somebody disobeys God is God says, don't eat that, and they eat it. And you know what? I'll bet you that that is one of the first sins that we all committed in our lives. Because how many of us, when we were kids, stole a cookie out of the cookie jar? That's probably the first thing that we ever stole.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, who here can say, Pastor, I remember specifically a time, every head bowed, every eyes closed, but how many of you would say, I remember specifically a time when I was a kid, when I was told that I was not allowed to eat something, and I snuck it and ate it anyway. I remember a time like that. Put up my hand. My kids should all have their hands up, because I busted you doing it. Yeah, but look around. So look, it's the first sin in the Bible, and it's probably the first sin in most of our lives. I remember one time, you know, my mom was reorganizing our bedrooms, and she was moving mattresses. She picked up my mattress, and underneath my mattress, there were like 30 packages, the wrappers of those Farley's fruit snacks. Who knows what I'm talking about? The Farley's. Those things were good, right? And grape, strawberry, and cherry, right? And I mean, there was just so many packages, and I got a big, you know, or I think my mom didn't spank me because I convinced her, like, that was a long time ago, Mom. The statute of limitations has expired on that. You know, I'm like, no, that was like a year ago. I think it was like a year and a half ago. You haven't even bought those in a while. You know, because I had just been sneaking them and shoving them, because there was a rule you're allowed to have one per day or something. But we would go beyond that, and then the wrappers would have to be disposed of in a safe location. So the point is, you know, this is a sin that everybody has probably had in their life at some point. The Bible talks about it. The Bible deals with it. The Bible covers it. Therefore, I as a preacher should cover it as well. Of course, in the famous verse, the Bible tells us, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If our body belongs to the Lord, we need to honor our bodies and not destroy them. I mean, if I borrowed someone's car, I shouldn't trash the thing and return it to them. But that's what we're doing. We're trashing a borrowed body that belongs to the Lord. We need to treat it with respect. The Bible talks about in Psalm 78. Stay there in Genesis, but in Psalm 78, 29, it says, so they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Look, this is something God deals with in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's something that we need to be cognizant of. Okay, so what food should we eat? You say, okay, Pastor Anderson, you're right. There's a limit to what we should eat. We should take care of what we eat. Mothers, fathers need to make sure that their children have nutritious food. But what should we be eating? What's the right thing to eat? What should we avoid? When do we say enough is enough? When do we decide we've gone too far and we've gone into gluttony? Well, let's get some principles from the Bible. Of course, we showed that in Genesis 2, the first sin was eating something God said not to eat. But look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 says this, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Now the word meat, let me just stop and explain this. When we say the word meat, we are only referring to animal flesh. But when the Bible uses the word meat, it's actually referring to any type of food. For example, in the Old Testament, they had something called the meat offering, and it was made out of fine flour mingled with oil. So that's not something that we would think of as meat. We would think of that as a pancake, okay? But here he says that the fruits and the vegetables, the seeds, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So let's just start out, number one, as one of the foods that we should eat, the fruits and vegetables that God has created. Now, that's not the only thing that we should eat. The Bible has a lot to say about other foods that we should eat. We're not talking about veganism tonight. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But one of the things that we should be eating are fruits and vegetables. These are the foods that God created. And if we are eating them in the exact form that God created them, how could that be bad for us? When God says, look, I've given you all these fruits and vegetables and seeds. So eating fruits and vegetables is healthy, it's nutritious. And God said, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. It's a great thing for us to be eating. But notice, he did not say, to you it shall be for a drink. He said, to you it shall be for meat. Okay? The biggest problem today with our diet in America, why is it that obesity is epidemic? Why is it that so many people struggle so hard to keep their weight under control? It's not the food as much as the drinks. It's the drinks that are killing us today. It's the drinks that are causing people to struggle in this area more than anything. Now, there's a lot of junk food out there, don't get me wrong, but the drinks are even worse. Okay, now let me just explain to you the science behind this, okay? See, everything that we eat is eventually turned into sugar. It's turned into energy that our cells and our bodies can use to perform whatever the function, okay? But there are different types of sugars that we could eat. Now, one of those types of sugars is known as glucose, and another of those sugars is known as fructose. And the reason it's called fructose is because it has to do with fruit, okay? Anything that ends in ose is pretty much a sugar. Like you've got your lactose and maltose, dextrose, fructose, glucose. Stay with me now, all right? Glucose and fructose. Now, our body will eventually break everything down to glucose. Glucose is the standard energy unit that we use in our bodies, okay? It all comes down to glucose eventually. Now, what is fructose? It's found in fruit. Well, what about the white granulated sugar that's sitting in the sugar jar or on the table at a restaurant? What is that stuff? Well, that stuff is called sucrose, and it's half glucose and half fructose. Okay, so just stay with me now. Glucose is the energy that we all need to survive, right? Fructose is the kind of sugar that comes from fruit. Everybody got it? The white powdery stuff on the table is both of these things combined because it's called a disaccharide because it has two monosaccharides. Glucose and fructose together form sucrose, which is the stuff on the table in the white dish. Everybody follow? Okay. Here's the thing about glucose. When you consume glucose, you're getting calories and your body says, I got calories. I'm going to get a little more full now because I've ingested calories, right? Because our bodies have a mechanism to tell us when to stop eating, right? You're eating, you're enjoying it, but you get to a point where you say, you know what? I'm full. I don't need any more. Or you might just go hours and hours having no desire to eat. Why? Because you're full. Well, one of the things that makes you full is eating food, Now, I know that sounds kind of obvious, but bear with me for a moment. You eat food, you get full, right? Glucose has that effect upon you. Okay. Fructose, on the other hand, does not have that effect on you. In fact, fructose makes you more hungry. So you're putting calories in, and you don't walk away more full. You walk away even hungrier. That's what fructose does. Now, why would God create fructose that way? Here's why. Because fruit has so much fiber in it that if you just ate a bunch of fruit all day, right, and then just said, oh, I'm full, you're not going to get enough food. You're not going to get enough nutrition. You're going to be at a super caloric deficit if you're just eating just nothing but just fruit. Okay, why? Because if you eat fruit, it takes up a lot of space in your stomach, but it doesn't give you a lot of calories, and that fiber takes work to digest, and it's not giving you... So the point is that it makes sense why God would create the sugar and fruit to not make you full, so that you don't just eat nothing but fruit. You know, you have to eat other things too that will actually fill you up, right? I mean, think about it. If your kid's hungry and you just tell them, well, eat an apple, son, is that going to fill them up? Here, eat these grapes. Here, eat some strawberries. That doesn't really fill you up, though. You're like, I need a real meal. Okay, so that's why fructose doesn't fill you up, because you can eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want. And you're not going to get fat from eating raw fruits and vegetables, okay? Here's the problem, though. When you take the fructose out of the fruit, now you don't have any of the fiber and the good stuff. Now you're just mainlining pure sugar into your body that doesn't make you full but makes you hungry. So you drink a glass of orange juice or apple juice or grape juice, and what are you doing? You're just dumping in sugar that makes you even more hungry, doesn't fill you up at all. Now, can you see why this would be a problem? Okay, you say, well, you know, that's fruit juice. Okay, what about Coca-Cola? You know what Coca-Cola is sweetened with? High fructose corn syrup. So it's been scientifically proven that if you drink a Coke with your meal, you'll eat more food. So you're adding calories with the Coke, but it doesn't fill you up, it makes you more hungry. So if I ate 200 calories worth of food, I'd be a little more full, right? Because I ate 200 calories of real food. But if I drink 200 calories of Coca-Cola, I walk away even hungrier. And I've had an additional 200 calories. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So you end up eating way more. It's not just, oh, the Coke's only 200 calories, whatever. Yeah, it's 200 calories, and it's going to make you hungrier. And then you're going to eat even more. And then you're going to drink even more. And then you're going to get hungry. And not only that, Coca-Cola is designed to make you even thirstier, too. Have you ever noticed that when you drink Coke, you're even thirstier? Because it's a diuretic. It's literally formulated to make you thirsty and hungry. That's why these restaurants love to ply you with Coca-Cola, because they know you'll buy more food, you'll eat more. And they, oh, free refills on the Coke, buddy. Drink up. Because the more you drink, the hungrier and the thirstier you get, and the more you're going to overeat and overindulge. This is a huge problem today, why people are overweight. One of the biggest things that you could do to fix this going into the new year, you know, because look, you can party till midnight tonight, all right? But, you know, don't, you know, you can put this all into practice tomorrow. I don't want to dampen the potluck or anything. You know, this is all tomorrow, folks. But here's the thing about that. One of the best things that you could do is just start drinking water with every meal. See, we in America today are just too used to just drinking a fun party drink with every single meal. We wake up in the morning for breakfast and we gotta have a big giant glass of orange juice and just dump all that fructose down the gullet. And then for lunch, it's Coca-Cola, or milk, or grape juice, or apple juice, or whatever the soda, and it's just dinner time, it's a fun drink, and you know what? It's also expensive. You're also wasting money when you go out to eat, and you gotta buy all these expensive drinks to go with your food. And you know, this might not be a popular sermon, but this could actually save your life. You know, when you don't have type 2 diabetes, and when you don't have heart disease, and when you aren't suffering from all these illnesses that are obesity related. Drinking calories, that's the biggest problem, and especially fructose. And you say, well, no, Pastor Anderson, you don't understand. I got the Coca-Cola from Mexico with the cane sugar, which is what? Half fructose. Same thing. It's having the same effect. You're drinking calories that don't make you full. If you instead ate those calories, you say, well, I tried to lose weight and I was just too hungry all the time. Yeah, but focus on eating the calories. Eat food. Eat nutritious food. Fill up on that and drink water. Now look, if you're used to drinking a fun drink with every meal, this is a little bit of an adjustment at first. For me, I drank a ton of milk with every meal. And I don't think milk is bad. Unless you're overweight, then milk is bad. Because milk, the Bible says that you may grow thereby. All right? So yeah, if you're a baby or a child, yeah, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But you know what? Some of us aren't interested in growing anymore. Now, if we need to grow, then yeah, if you're underweight, drink milk. Good for you. Okay, but people that are overweight, you just need to drink water, friend, with every meal. Now, look, if you're used to just the constant sodas, and I've been there. When I was a teenager, and you can kind of get away with it sometimes when you're a teenager, although you're setting bad habits for your life and harming your health, you know, I was drinking sodas with every single meal, drinking milk constantly with every meal. But listen to me, all you have to do is go like 2 weeks where you drink water with every meal and you will not miss it anymore. You know, it's like quitting smoking. It's like quitting anything. I mean, you go like 2 weeks where you just, with breakfast, you drink water. Lunch, drink water. Dinner, drink water. And just do that for a few weeks and you will break the addiction. Your body will adapt and pretty soon you won't even miss it. And some of you guys especially, because it's a lot harder for women to lose weight than men, but for you men, just that alone would probably cause you to lose like 20 or 30 pounds if you would actually just drink water with every meal, because then you're going to eat less food. I mean, look, I used to go to Panera. I mean, I still go to Panera, but I used to go to Panera and I'd get 2 giant breakfast sandwiches and sometimes I'd even have something else. With the orange juice, right? But you know, then I switched to drinking water with every meal. Now I eat 1 breakfast sandwich and I'm done. Because you're just not as hungry when you drink water instead of dumping in all that fructose, which is an appetite giver, not an appetite suppressant. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. Now look, I'm not saying to never drink juice or soda or anything like that. But I will say this, it should be a rare treat. See, the Bible says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The Bible says the pastor should not be given to wine. The deacon should not be given to much wine. Wine in the Bible is fruit juice. Now, often it's alcoholic, and other times it's not alcoholic. It just depends on the context. But you know what? As a pastor, I should not be given to either the alcoholic kind or the non-alcoholic kind. You know why? Because if I'm given to the alcoholic kind, then I'm a drunk. And if I'm given to the non-alcoholic kind, I'm going to get fat. And you know what? All across America, we have fat preachers in the pulpits all across America by the thousands. And I'm not down on them. I don't hate them. I'm not mad at them. But I'm telling you, that's a bad example. They're setting a bad example to their flock, and they need to change that. They need to fix that. I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm not saying that God can't use them. But I am saying that they should get it fixed. And you know what? There have been many fat preachers who've lost the weight and fixed that. Anybody can fix that. But they have to. You can't just keep doing the same thing and expecting to get a different result. You know, you're going to have to make changes in your life. Like, for example, step one, go home and dump out all the Coca-Cola and all the fruit. You say, well, fruit juice is good for you. Drink your apple a day. Wrong. Fruit juice is good for you. You know what? Yeah, if you're underweight, drink fruit juice. Anyone who is overweight should never think that they're doing their body a favor by drinking fruit juice ever. You are not doing anything healthy for your body ever drinking fruit juice if you're overweight. If you are overweight, fruit juice should never even enter your mouth. And the sad thing is, people drink it, they're like, oh, this is really good for me. You know, I saw a TV commercial about it. Orange juice is good for your heart, Dad. Have a big glass. You know, I remember there was a commercial. I can quote a lot of commercials from my childhood. But, you know, drink this glass of orange juice given to an old man. Here, you need this. Yeah, this is going to help your heart. Well, you know, it's not going to help your heart to be 100 pounds overweight because every morning you drink a glass of fructose. And then you're hungry all day and eat a bunch of junk food. Look, fruit juice, especially the pasteurized fruit juice at the store or at a restaurant, has virtually no nutritional value. The nutritional value is close to zero, and whatever nutritional value is there is counteracted by the fact that it's making you overweight, which is bad for you. So you just got to get that out of your head, that fruit juice is good for me. Wrong. Here's what's good for you. Fruit! Say, what's the difference? Fiber. It's a massive difference. Look, you could eat pineapples and bananas and apples and oranges all day long. That stuff's good for you. But as soon as you start drinking pineapple juice, apple juice, grape juice, it's bad for you. And again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it for a rare treat, but that's what it should be considered, a treat. You know, your birthday comes once a year. New Year's Eve is once a year, you know? Right? Christmas is once a year. Thanksgiving's once a year. You know, somebody told me, they said, you know, your birthday comes once a year, and today's not your birthday, but it's always somebody's birthday. And you know, that's our mentality. I mean, look, when you have a church with 365 people in it, it's always going to be somebody's birthday. So here's a good rule of thumb. Party on your birthday, but not on everybody's birthday. Because if you're going to just break out the wine, and I'm not talking alcohol now, I'm talking the fruit juices, the Coca-Colas, the fun drinks. If you're going to crack those out on everybody's birthday, you're going to be just drinking that stuff all the time, eating that stuff all the time in excess. So look, yeah, cookies, brownies, cake, all that sugary kind of junk food, and the fruit juices and the sodas, they should be a rare treat. I'm not saying you can never eat them or drink them, but when you're just constantly eating and drinking that stuff, don't be surprised when you get overweight. And again, let me just say a little more on the science part of the sermon before I get back to the Bible. Here's the science of it, okay? 1 pound equals 3,500 calories, all right? 1 pound, 3,500 calories. So what does that mean? That means that if you ingest 350 extra calories that you don't need for 10 days, right? Everybody listening? 350 times 10, that's a pound of fat added. Okay, now do that for a whole year. And you just added 30 some pounds. I mean, you can really do damage quickly. Or you can lose weight. Now look, how much, if you're drinking a soda with lunch and a soda with dinner, right? That's like 350 calories between those two things. Or a glass of orange juice with breakfast and a soda with dinner, that's 350 calories that you just drank. Not to mention the fact it's making you hungrier and you're overeating. But just that alone, that's 350 calories. Every 10 days, imagine how quickly you could gain too much weight. And then you wonder why so many people are overweight. It's all the drinks. And then some people, when they're teenagers and they're growing, they develop these habits, and then they get married and their life slows down, and then they just keep eating and drinking the same way they ate and drank when they were teenagers or in their 20s. Look, when you get in your 30s, you got to slow down on that stuff. You're not growing anymore. And so, you know, if you want to even if you just drank 100 calories a day above what your body needs. You just have an excess every day of 100 calories times 365. I don't know what that math is. I'm too tired. But anyway, it's bad, whatever it is. It's Don't do it. That's all I know. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, yeah, you're going to gain 10 pounds approximately in a year. Right? Or you're going to lose 10 pounds if you shave off 100 calories every day. So, you know, these are just some things to think about. You can't just keep on going down that same path and then wondering why you can't lose weight. And look, stay away from gimmicks. Have I preached to you a gimmick tonight yet? No, I'm not telling you to do any kind of a gimmick. I'm just telling you to drink water. Like all the prophets in the Bible drank water. Like everybody in the Bible drank water, and they drank wine as a treat, as a rare treat. Okay, let's get back to the Bible. What kind of food should we eat? Fruits and vegetables are great, but don't juice them. And don't drink the juice. Eat the fruit. Eat the vegetable. Get the fiber. Eat it the way God intended. Number one. But number two, we should also be eating meat. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, we should also eat meat. So first of all, the fruits and vegetables are good for us, but we should eat them, not juice them. Actually ingest them as God made. You say, well, no, because if we can juice them, then it's like we can just get so many more nutrients, because there's no way I could ever eat, you know, 15 oranges, but I could juice them, and there's no way I'd ever eat all these vegetables and fruits. You know, I can get like 30 pieces of produce and just drink it all in this one glass. It's just so many vitamins. Here's the thing. Obviously, God didn't intend you to eat or drink that many, or else it wouldn't require a machine that was invented in the 20th century to make it. Number one. But number two, who can afford that? It's like you're just buying, like, so, I mean, that stuff's expensive.
Yeah.
And then, like, 90% of it goes in the trash.
Yeah.
Right? You come home with, like, bags of produce, you juice it all, it's like one glass. And then the whole trash is just filled with pulp and fiber. And that's all the stuff that's good for you. Fiber's good for you. So, you know, stay away from the juicing. You know, and actually eat the foods. And you say, well, but by blending it up, it's like pre-digested. Here's the thing. Your body's supposed to do the digesting. You don't need a pre-digested meal. Digest it yourself. Because you know what? Then if your body has to work to digest things, then you're like burning calories just to digest it. I mean, like that apple that has 60 calories, you're not getting 60 calories out of that apple. So we are, an apple has 60 calories. No, because it takes 60 calories just to gnaw through the thing and swallow it all and digest it all and eliminate it all. You're going to burn 60 calories. That's why the fructose doesn't make you full. Because you need to eat something that's going to put meat on your bones, and apples will not put meat on your bones. You're not, you know, look, the chewing is part of the process. Oh, yeah, it's great. You don't have to chew anything. You just pour it all down. Chew! Chew and swallow and digest. Don't have someone else do your digesting for you. So number one, we should eat the fruits and vegetables. Number two, we should eat meat. Genesis 9, verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So the Bible tells us to eat the fruits and vegetables, but he also says to eat the moving creatures, the living things, the animals. He said, as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, the misguided vegan philosophy will tell us, well, but yeah, but before sin, man only ate fruits and vegetables. Well, here's the problem with that logic is that before sin, lions also ate straw like an ox. But if a lion tries to eat that way now, it'll die. Any cat, even a house cat, cannot live on a vegan diet, despite what lying vegan websites will tell you. Cats do not have the enzymes to process a plant-based diet. They must eat meat. Now, dogs could live on a vegan diet, but cats cannot. That's why God brings up the miracle by the lion is going to eat straw like an ox in the millennium and so forth. That's how it was in the beginning. So to say, well, you know, God told them in the Garden of Eden just to eat fruits and vegetables, so that must be the best thing for our bodies, that's about as logical as saying, well, straw is the best thing for a lion's body, because after all, it's how it's going to be in the millennium. It's how it was in the Garden of Eden. No, wrong. Our bodies right now are designed to eat meat. So God tells us to eat meat. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature, referring to the animals that provide the meats, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And in the Old Testament, the priests every day ate meat from the sacrifices. And the children of Israel had to eat meat at the Passover. It would have been impossible to be a vegan in the Old Testament and be right with God. Impossible. Because you have to eat the Passover. Commandment. So God obviously didn't intend for us to be vegan. So number one, eat your fruits and vegetables. Number two, eat your meats. And number three, eat bread. Eat bread. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Luke 11:3, give us this day our daily bread. Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You say, well, Pastor Harrison, what kind of a diet is this? We're supposed to eat meat and bread and fruits and vegetables. So are we cutting out butter? No. Butter's biblical. Amen.
Amen.
What kind of a diet is this? I thought you were going to go paleo, man. Thought we're going vegan. Thought we're going low carb. Low fat. No, get off the gimmicks. Get off the fads. Now look, do the gimmicks and fads work? Yeah, they work if you actually follow them. All of it works. I mean, if you were to just go super low fat, yeah, you're going to lose weight. If you go super low carb, yeah, you're going to lose weight. But here's the thing. A lot of that stuff, it's not sustainable for a lifetime, though. So people, they do the fad, they do the gimmick, and then they end up gaining all the way back. Or let's say, oh, it works to lose weight, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. Because people can do a low-fat diet, and yeah, it works, right? Until their hair starts falling out. Until they start getting all crazy because they don't have enough omega fatty acids going to their brain. It's, you know, their nervous system gets all weirded out and stuff. So look, I don't want to do some radical diet because then I could be missing out on key nutrients. So I don't want to cut out carbs or cut out fat or cut out meat or cut out fruits and vegetables. You know, we need to eat a balanced, normal diet and stay away from the gimmicks and the fads. Just a sustainable, long-term diet where we drink water and eat a balanced diet of healthy, whole foods, you know, and just say, now look, you say, well, I lost a lot of weight and had success with this gimmick or that gimmick. Great. But, you know, for the average person, that stuff doesn't work. You know, you need something that you can stick with. You need something that fits your lifestyle. And God tells us to eat bread and meat and butter is good and the fruits and vegetables. Now, if you would, flip over to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And by the way, this paleo diet, I don't like the name. Because it implies that we were once a caveman. And it's basically telling us, hey, we evolved to eat like a caveman. Let's eat like a hunter-gatherer or whatever. And look, I'm not saying that people, you know, couldn't be healthy or lose weight on that paleo diet, but I don't like the name. First of all. And I dead sure don't believe that that's how God created us to eat when he's telling us to eat bread every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, the problem today is not with meat or with bread. The problem is that people are eating junk meat and junk bread. You know, and so people will say like, well, I switched to a vegan diet and now I just feel so much better. Yeah, that's because you went from a junk food well-rounded diet to a healthy vegan diet, then yeah, you're going to be way better off on the healthy vegan diet than you were on the total junk diet. But you know, you can actually get on a healthy, well-rounded diet, then you'll be better off even than the vegan. You say, why are you down on the vegans? It's a doctrine of devils, the Bible says. Yeah. And so it's something we need to combat in the end times. Number one, when people make a religion out of it. But number two, you know, you don't want to end up looking like Johnny Nixon because, you know, you ate way too much soy or whatever. Unless you don't know who that is. But anyway, the point is, you know, a lot of these vegan diets, they're heavy on soy. Soy boys, thank you. Look, as a man, you don't want to look like a soy boy. You don't want to get all effeminate and low testosterone because you're getting a bunch of phytoestrogen mimickers from a bunch of soy because you're eating too much tofu. So, you know, that it's not good for you. So even if these things could help you lose weight, you know, and look, yeah, you could be vegan without eating soy. I get that. But the average vegan person, it's so funny how they're like, yeah, you know, we were created to eat this way. Vegan, it's God's intent. Then why are vegans always trying to make food that's like meat? If it's so natural to be a vegan, why do you have to keep tricking yourself that you're eating meat? Right? With a vegan sausage and a vegan cheeseburger and a vegan turkey. You know, if it's so normal to be vegan, would you just eat the fruits and vegetables and the grains and stuff? You always have to trick, oh, this tastes just like a burger. Well, you know what? I got something that tastes just like a burger. A burger! Yeah. You say, oh, the animals, slay and eat. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy 22. Let me just add this on. We need to stay away from the GMOs. Stay away from the genetically modified foods, the Frankenfoods. Deuteronomy 22, verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. This is one of those verses that's made fun of in the Bible. Yeah. Oh, you know, you believe the Bible, huh? Well, verse 11 says not to wear a garment of woolen and linen together. You wearing a mixed fabric?
No, I'm 100% cotton, buddy. How you doing?
You wearing a mixed fabric, buddy?
You know what? Maybe we should actually listen to this stuff and quit mixing the crops and not sow our vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Yeah, right. Why don't we keep things the way God created them and not genetically modify the plants and animals that we eat? So I think that if we were smart, we'd go with what God made, because God created everything. He said it's all very good. Mm-hmm. So if we eat the fruit that God made, we eat the vegetable that God made, we butcher and eat the animal that God gave us, and then we make bread out of the grain that God gave us, and we eat the butter from the milk that God gave us in moderation, we're going to be doing great. The problem is that we're driving through and getting partially hydrogenated soybean oil, high fructose corn syrup, and a whole bunch of chemical ingredients, and a whole bunch of junk garbage food. That's the problem. It's not meat that's the problem. It's not bread that's... So people think like, oh, if I just go vegetarian, it'll fix all my problems. And then you tell them, no, meat's good for you.
Oh, well, have you seen, you know, the meat industry?
Well, we don't eat that meat, though. Get your meat from a healthy source. Get the grass-fed. Get the organic. You say, oh, I can't afford it. You know what? You can't afford not to eat healthy. You know what you can't afford? The medical bills that you're going to pay from all the junk food that you eat. You know what you can't afford? All the sick days you're going to have to take from your junk. Oh, you know, I just don't have enough money, so I just have to eat junk food. Okay, you're going to spend all the money at the hospital, and you're going to lose all the money when you can't go to work and can't perform well, because you're full of junk food. And you know what? Junk food is not more expensive than real food. That is a myth.
Yeah.
That is a myth. I'll tell you that this is what it comes down to. It's not that junk food is cheaper than real food, because it's not. You know what it is? It's more convenient than real food. Mm-hmm. The thing about real food is that somebody has to prepare it. Yeah. Okay, that's what it comes down to. The junky foods are the ones that are ready to go off the shelf. They're ready to go out of the box, ready to go out of the can, ready and waiting right across the parking lot in Wendy's right here, ready to roll. I mean, what's easier, rolling across the street into Wendy's and getting your combo of the cheeseburger and the fries and the wine and the oil of Wendy's? Or actually going home and forming your ground beef patties and then baking your rolls that you made from scratch for the bread, right? You baked your own bread, right? I mean, yeah. for the rolls, you know, but that's a simple meal. But what about, you know, baking the bread and chopping up the fruits and chopping up the vegetables and cooking it yourself? See, the healthy foods, the rice and the beans are cheap and they're healthy. But you have to do what? Soak the beans. You know, cook the food. You got to do work. You got to prepare it. That's the issue. And if you want to do it on the cheap, you have to put a little work into finding the deals. And that takes work too, right? Because you have to, you know, the prudent wife and the virtuous wife is seeking out the deals and the bargains on the nutritious food. So eating healthy doesn't have to break the bank. You can do it on a budget. You just might have to do a little more work to prepare things and to seek out things. And, plus, you might not be able to eat steak and lobster with every meal. You know, you might have to do some meatless meals just to save money. But rice, beans, fruits, vegetables, these things are not that expensive if you buy them in their raw forms and actually prepare them yourself. Okay, so I'm just going to leave you with this one last verse. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 13, Jeremiah 13. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to give you a quick review of everything we learned tonight. And look, if you want to just blow off everything I'm saying tonight, you're welcome to do that. That's fine. I still love you. We're still friends. But I'm only telling you this stuff because I love you. And you know what? If the pastor who will never touch on this, maybe he just doesn't love his people. Maybe he's just afraid to tell them the truth. But, you know, sometimes a little tough love is what we need to hear because we're destroying ourselves. We're destroying our bodies. We're destroying. And you know what? Fundamental Baptist churches are notorious for junk food. Every Fundamental Baptist church I've ever been to, it's just McDonald's and just it's just the worst junk and Kool-Aid in the Sunday school. And we Baptists love to eat. Amen. You know? Just the huge preachers and everything's junk. And rare, you know, this is like one of the only Baptist churches in America where we extol healthy eating and organic and non-GMO. And look, when we have a church picnic, that's what we serve. We serve organic grass-fed beef. We serve any church activity. Even when we break the record and serve ice cream as a rare treat, it's organic ice cream. Or it's the healthiest ice creams that we can find. So, well, how can you afford that? You know what? Because if we wouldn't serve it to Jesus, we won't serve it to you. Amen. If I have anything to do with purchasing any food for any activity, I buy what I would buy for Jesus. Amen. I wouldn't serve Jesus junk. I would, you know, if I were to serve Jesus ice cream, If Jesus said, woman, give me an ice cream cone, should my wife get, you know, the 5-gallon Walmart cheapest possible ice cream and give it to him? You know, or should she give him the best? And if we've done it unto one of the least of Christ's brethren, we've done it unto him. And we, you know, so we want to have a culture in our church and a culture for our children and a culture for the people around us of modeling healthy eating and a healthy lifestyle in all areas of life. Not to just get up and say, don't smoke, kids, and just eat the worst junk food and be 100 pounds overweight. And then you know what? The kids are going to think, well, the Bible doesn't mention smoking. How dare he tell me that? Look at what he's doing to his body. He's going to be lucky to hit 50. You know. So the point is that, you know, we need to set the right example for other people. And by the way, I've heard that there's been some people in our church have taken this preaching and said, oh, well, pastor says smoking's not a big deal because it's just like eating junk food. Look, the thought of foolishness is sin.
Right.
I think you missed the point. The point was, don't eat junk food or smoke. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, it's just like eating junk food, so let's just smoke up. Let's go up and smoke. No, you're missing the point, buddy. But you know, people kind of hear what they want to hear, don't they?
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm sick of people blaming me for their sin.
Yeah.
Don't say, well, I smoke because Pastor Anderson said it's not a big deal. You know what? Let me just start right now and say, you know what? If you smoke, you're a fool.
Amen.
And you need to quit smoking.
Yep.
It's a lack of character. It's stupid. It's worthless. It's destroying your health. It's a waste of money. And I'm against smoking anything. Pot, tobacco, anything. It's garbage. Quit smoking. It's foolish. And don't try to blame me on that and say, well, Pastor Anderson was soft on smoking. It's like, good night. The last point I want to make after I make this quick review, number one, drink water with every meal. Number two, eat a balanced diet of healthy, nutritious food. You don't need a gimmick. Just eat less food. Eat a balanced diet. Eat as much fruits and vegetables as you want. If you get hungry, eat fruits and vegetables, right? Drink water. Eat a sensible portion of food. Get, you know, you want to count calories. Or look, do whatever it takes. Get on whatever program you need. But get it under control. And then lastly is this, you're going to have to change your habits. You're going to have to break some addictions in your life. That's what it comes down to. Jeremiah 13, verse 23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. What's the Bible saying? Look, if you are accustomed to doing evil, it seems impossible to you to do good, like it would be impossible for a black person to become white or for a leopard to become a tiger. Okay? Look, people have this attitude that, oh, it's impossible. But it's just that you have to change your habits. Everybody's got an excuse, don't they? Oh, you know, it's just my thyroid. It's just my hormones. It's just my genetics, it's just my DNA. But you know what it is, though? It's that you're accustomed to doing it wrong. That's the problem. Show me somebody who loves to drink water and drinks water with every meal, and I'll show you somebody who's not overweight. And you show me the one who's drinking all the sodas and the wine and the beer and the fruit juice and the milk and the drive-through sodas and ices, and I'll show you somebody who's overweight, by and large. We need to change our habits, and you know what? The new year is a great chance to do it. To push a reset button, to have one last hoorah tonight. And tomorrow, decide on some concrete, and don't just have some vague, yeah, I need to fix this. You know, you need to go into it. You know, if this is a problem, and a lot of people don't have this problem, but some people do. You know, you ought to go into it tomorrow with a plan that says, you know what, I'm going to start out doing X. And sometimes it's just baby steps. You know, just one step at a time. Just get rid of the drinks. Just get on water for a while. See what, learn what water tastes like. Learn what we've been drinking, the rest of us. And then, you know, keep progressing from there. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your word and the wisdom on this subject, Lord. Help us not to be gluttons and wine bibbers, Lord. Help us not to be given to wine and given to indulging the flesh and eating junk, Lord. Help us to be sensible and to control our appetites, Lord. And I know this is a very difficult struggle for people. It's a hard addiction to break, Lord, but I just pray that you would just give us the strength to do it, to eat what's right, so that we can have the energy to go out soul winning and not get tired after 20 minutes, but that we could get out there and get soul winning and not be drowsy and to be able to have energy to raise our children and do the things that we need to do, Lord. And I pray that no one would be angry or offended by the sermon tonight, Lord. I pray that everyone would just accept it in a spirit of love in which it was delivered, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.